Today on Real Radio.
Noah Webster's 1828 Dictionary, he says the word astonished, it means to be overwhelmed, dumbfounded, flabbergasted, amazed, dazzled, speechless, shocked, stunned, befuddled. We hear these words today in our modern world, it's like, oh, so what? They had meanings to words back then. They were not revisionist. Powerful words. Do you know what the world is looking for right now, everybody? When they're not worshiping God? If you're not worshiping God, you know what you're looking for? You're looking for to be overwhelmed. You want to be dumbfounded. You want to be flabbergasted. Somebody amaze me. Will somebody dazzle me?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Why Should I Worship? And of all the studies in this Why Should I series, this is the one we've been spending the most time on. Why? Well, remember, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Enjoy Him forever? Most absolutely. You see, the very nature of the Almighty dictates that there are some attributes we can understand about Him, and yet most of His attributes we can't. In other words, as our teacher has been demonstrating in this study, part of our worshiping God is experiencing pure fascination. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Fascination. Two young people showed up at my door this week. They were actually at my house. I was not home. I pulled into the driveway while they were there, and I met them in the driveway, and they said, you know what, we want you to meet our God. And they began to tell me. And I said, well, there's, now right there, I would just hold it right there. You see, I said, I have a God. And it was great. One of them went, oh, and the other one went, and I said, I have a God. And what you just said about your God sounds a lot like mine. Sounds a lot like mine. But you know what? The truth is, I know a little bit about the God that you worship. And if you were to keep talking, you would tell me this about your God, wouldn't you? Yeah. And you would then go on to tell me this, huh? Yeah. And this is how He is. And this is where He came from, and this is your future, right? Yes. And I said, that's not my God. My God said this, 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 and this. And we have a problem. Because if my God is the same as your God, then neither one of us have a God, because it's contradiction. We clearly have two different gods. And my God loves me unconditionally. My God has written a love letter to me. I don't want to read what some man has written. And I don't want to hear how I can somehow do some cosmic dance to draw His attention, that He might favor me somehow if I just do that good enough. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna ask that my God gives you a really, really good day. And I don't mean drive safe, and I don't mean have a good lunch. I mean that you go from door to door in this community and you hear about my God. And I said goodbye, and we parted ways. And I walked into the house, and the water fountain is out front in my house, out in front of the window, and there's a little hummingbird drinking out of the water fountain. And right then God just says, you know what? You're going to be talking about fascination and my wonderment. Don't ever forget it. And the little hummingbird there, he was oblivious to the conversation, could have cared less. And all he was doing was living his day, that hummingbird was, to the glory of God. He was just humming. He was just flying. He was just drinking, taking a bath in the fountain, doing what hummingbirds do. I'm a Christian. What do Christians do? Well, the first thing we do is worship the Lord. And then whatever we do from that moment on, it's still an act of worship unto the Lord. Fascination. Want to hear about some fascination? The spouses of the space shuttle crews each get to pick a song for them to wake up their loved one in space every morning. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Rick's wife, Rick's husband, the commander of Columbia that just exploded, Rick's wife selected God of Wonders by Steve Green to wake up Rick one morning. By the way, NASA sends it from Houston and it wakes up the entire crew. It's pretty loud. They do it every morning, by the way. Did you know that? Well, they let the families pick songs each day to wake up the crew. This particular morning, it was Rick's wife's turn to have the song picked. So she picks God of Wonders, Beyond Our Galaxy. We sing it here. So, the song was played by tape for Rick. By communication with Mission Control after this song was played. Mission Control, good morning. That song was for Rick, Mission Control said. It was God of Wonders by Steve Green. Rick responds to Houston, good morning, thank you. We can really appreciate the lyrics of that song up here. We look out the window and see that God truly is a God of wonders. What you don't know, perhaps, is Rick's husband and another brother, Anderson, of that crew, fellowshiped together in the same men's group in Houston at their church. There were three born-again Christians on board that flight, and in their men's group, as we are now finding out, as word gets out, that Rick had told his friends, the real mission on this trip for me is not what we're going to be doing. That's the second part of the mission. Well, what's the real mission? His friends asked them in the group. The real mission is my friend Ramon, Elia Ramon, our Jewish friend, the astronaut. I've been sharing the Lord with him. My whole desire, my first mission is to get him to see that Jesus, a Jew, born in his own area, that he would see, that Ramon would see that Jesus is the Messiah of the world, the Savior of Israel. That's my real mission. And so his men's group was praying as they were circling the globe. The Jew had to wake up just like the Christian. And I don't know about that other little girl, the Hindu girl. Was she Hindu? I don't know anything about her. She had to wake up too to the same song. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. What happened in the reentry? We're not sure. They now suppose that they had 17 minutes to learn that they would not make it. That's a long, long time. Could it be just like the thief on the cross that Elia Ramon remembered and heard the gospel one more time to find out that his Messiah was waiting for him in the heavens? How do you know? We won't know, but God knows. I just find it extremely just like my God to have not on board Columbia in its explosion a bunch of evolutionists or who knows what-ists. God had believers on board to share the gospel. Around, 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 around for 17 days. And by the way, did you know that Rick, before he left, did you know that he videotaped a devotion to his daughter, 17 of them, because he was going to be gone for 17 days? He gave his devotion to his kids every time he was home, and when he wasn't there, he did a devotion. Hi, this is Dad. Good morning, pumpkin. And he told her about Jesus for that day. Did you know he then went from that to make 17 video devotions for his sons so they each had one for each day in his absence? Is God not awesome? If you're not living like that, I don't know. What are you doing? Is there life in you. There's no life without worship in. Then we learn about astonishment. Noah Webster helps us with this. Astonishment, victory, the worship, the victory is an astonishment. These are words that we've lost in English, but let's let the first guy who brought it all together tell us what it means. Astonishment. Noah Webster. Noah Webster. Read about him. He's one of my heroes. Noah and Daniel Webster. Kind of know who that might be? Noah Webster, by the way, Noah, not Daniel. Noah challenged his pastor to a Greek and Hebrew definition of the Greek and Hebrew words at 8 years of age and beat him at Greek and Hebrew. So he was smarter than the average bear, Noah was. Noah put together the American Dictionary in 1828. You can buy it. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. He says the word astonished, it means to be overwhelmed. Dumbfounded, flabbergasted, amazed, dazzled, speechless, shocked, stunned, befuddled. We hear these words today in our modern world, it's like, oh, so what? They had meanings to words back then. They were not revisionist. Powerful words. Do you know what the world is looking for right now, everybody? When they're not worshiping God? If you're not worshiping God, you know what you're looking for? You're looking for to be overwhelmed. You want to be dumbfounded. You want to be flabbergasted. Somebody amaze me. Will somebody dazzle me? Somebody leave me speechless. Someone shock me. Somebody do something so I'll be stunned. I want to be befuddled. And so you have stupid reality TV. You know what? Why don't I tell you, unplug it. And find out what it is to know the God of the universe and worship Him and find the fulfillment of the meanings of those words. Because you know what? Listen, you didn't think this would be a lesson in English today. I should actually sit down and get Kevin or somebody else up here. But y'all heard of the word amusement? You know what it means? You know what it means if you break it down. What does the word muse mean? To muse is to engulf yourself in it, to eat it up, to experience it, to know it, to be fully immersed into it. Muse, to muse upon the Word of God or the heavens or, you know what muse means? It means to unplug your brain, to detach, to get far away from reality. So because man does not want to worship God and find his complete fulfillment in God, we create things to help him. And I'm not saying they're a sin. Don't get me wrong. But we call them amusement parks and amusement because we don't want to think because there's nothing to think about worth it anymore. And the truth is, just one little decision away in your mind stands before you an eternal God who will fulfill everything that your heart desires. Muse on Him and be satisfied. Reverence in worship to revere God. Not only reverence, quickly, adoration. Victory in worship, we experience adoration. Adoration. Before we end with the last consideration, adoration is a very difficult word because if you look at the definition of it in Scripture, both Greek, Hebrew, and English, and I would imagine for any language for that matter, it's almost been so prostituted and raped by the world that we don't know what it means anymore. It's safe to say, to some degree, I don't even know if I know what it means anymore. The adoration of something is to be so in love with it and to be so committed to it and to be so intoxicated by it that nothing else in the world appears to exist. You are in adoration. You adore. We say things like, oh, I adore that. And it's nearly blasphemous to the meaning of the words. You adore? We don't even know what words mean, to adore God. For those of you who were here yesterday at that wedding, I've done a lot of weddings, none like that one yesterday. There was a man standing right here, and his bride-to-be right here. He was trying to convince me before the wedding that he was calm. He was trying to act cool, and it might have worked for some people. But as I watched him come up here, as she receives, or as he receives her hand and they step up here, he was absolutely as close as to astonished as I could imagine. He comes up, and then time came when I said, "Will you turn and face one another?" Then I said, and you know, it's a long string of things. I said, "Repeat after me. Will you, Gilbert, take Angelica?" "Yes." And I said, "No." I said, "Wait, no, not." He said, "I'm sorry." He's nervous. He's sweating profusely. If you were here, you saw him wiping. He just was sweating. Then he starts crying, and he got sweat and tears. And I started to go again. "For better, for worse." "Yes." "I'm sorry, no. Was I supposed to?" "No, you weren't supposed to do it yet." I told him, "Not yet. We got to get through this." I said, "You're killing me." I said, "I did. If you were here, I said, you're killing me. Stop. We have to stop. We had to pray." I stopped the wedding. We had to pray. He's like this. Physically, if you were here, he's going, "Oh." We're going through the vows. He's going, "For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer." He's just, and she's looking at him. And I know, and she looks at me like, what a loser. He can't even get through this. So then I say, I come to the end, and it was obvious. It's time for him to say, "You know, I do." And he looks at the audience. I said, what are you doing? Look at her. Now, yes. It's, yeah. "I do." So she's going to show him how it's done. So, "Angelica, do you take Gilbert?" And I went through about halfway through. She goes, "I do." She couldn't wait either. The moment it was over, I said, "Now, turn and face your friends, your audience today. Ladies and gentlemen, please join with me in celebrating today." They couldn't wait. Come on. They're married. They're out of here. I don't even know if they ever made it to the reception. They were gone. It was unbelievable. So we gotta take pictures. Pictures? Oh, man. They wanted out of here. I don't know for what, but they wanted out of here. He was engulfed in her. She, by seeing him, became engulfed in him. When we look upon him who loved us with an everlasting love, no wonder why we love him back who gave his life for us. No wonder. And I told a young girl who was there, I said, "Listen, don't ever marry any man, ever, who is not like that man was today." Ladies, listen up. Don't marry any man who is not like that man was yesterday. He was nuts for her. And I told him in that service, don't let that ever change. Don't let that ever stop. Which leads us to the conclusion of this, and that is praise. To praise God. Now listen, if you want to fight on this topic, I want to warn you, I will fight with you endlessly. God has given us hymns throughout the ages, and he will give hymns, and he's given hymns now. And the Bible says that we should sing hymns. It also says that we should sing spiritual songs. The Bible says that we should worship and praise the Lord. You ever heard that? There's a real arrogant self-righteous smugness that flows through certain churches that any other expression other than the old ancient hymns are from hell. You know what? I'm glad that God's not listening to that kind of junk. You want to know why? God is in the hymns of old, he's in the hymns of the now, and he's in the praises of the old, and he's in the praises of the new. You want to know why? Those hymns of doctrine, we love them. And by the way, Don does a great job of making them lively and up in our current age, as they were back then in their current age. But don't ever let someone ever put you down regarding your praise. You want to know why? Praise implies a spontaneous expulsion from your heart unto God. And much of praise, traditionally, is unrehearsed. You praise God, I would imagine, when you see perhaps a profound sunset. You ever had those moments? The other day when the clouds parted, that happened to have been a certain day last week in the evening, and literally there was a massive cloud with the sun behind it, and it had a silver lining. And I stopped coming out of the door of this church, and I said, "Wow, God, you're cool. That is cool." And I went on my way. I just praised him. When we sing songs, God of wonders beyond, that's not a hymn. That's considered more by the musical people as a song of praise. I don't care what you think about it. Every time I hear it, I want to cry with a smile on my face. There's songs that do that to you too. Don't let anybody ever rob you from that. Praise him and worship him. Sit silent in adoration and stand with the expulsion from you of praise. That's what the Bible meant when it said, "Let the mountains shout. Let the heavens be glad." That's praise. Praise is awesome. And worship, of course, is its root. There's a time for hymns and there's a time to shout. It all plays part and parcel in our Christian victory as we continue to worship the Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, concluding a study series called "Why Should I Worship?" It's a study taken from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 2, the basis for this collection of studies called the "Why Should I?" series. This actually concludes this longest section of the "Why Should I?" series, which, remember, it is available to you all in one MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. That's our offer. We'd be glad to send you this series all on one convenient MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. To learn more, visit us at realradioactive.org, where you'll be able to read about it under the banner Special Offer, realradioactive.org. You can also call us using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us, send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.